Chapter 41. The Council. The First Hive. Twilight rolled erratically underneath the covers as a tight grimace crossed her face. Chrysalis began to rouse from her own slumber as she heard her daughter's distress, and she blinked open a single eye to see what was going on. Twilight was panting heavily, as if she had been running. She also seemed to be locked in a death battle with her covers, and fear was evident on her features. Chrysalis slipped out of her own bed and swiftly moved to her daughter's side, gently placing a hoof on her shoulder and softly shaking her awake.
"Twilight," Chrysalis quietly cooed. "It's just a nightmare. You can wake up now."
Twilight slowly came to a halt as her eyelids fluttered open. The morning sun's rays nearly blinded her as they made contact with her eyes, causing her to blink rapidly as she wiped away the sleep with the back of her hoof. The young princess sat up in the bed and looked around in confusion, her sleep-addled mind figuring out where and when she was. Eventually, her gaze rested on her mother, who was providing Twilight with a comforting smile.
"Mother, is it morning already?"
Twilight sleepily asked.
"Yes,"
Chrysalis responded.
"Though it seemed like the morning couldn't come quickly enough for you, my daughter."
Twilight chuckled sheepishly.
"Yeah, you could say that. Another nightmare."
Almost like she was a foal again, or rather a nymph, Twilight simply gave a sheepish nod in confirmation. In this fact, Chrysalis found some amusement, but naturally, it also created a lot of motherly concern. The changeling queen sighed.
"Was it about him again? Like the one Princess Luna halted before?"
"Yes,"
Twilight admitted.
"Except this time it took place here, in this hive. Things started out as normal. We were getting ready for the council when I took a wrong turn and got lost. And after that, that assassin showed up and things pretty much went the same as last time."
"Whereabouts in the sequence did I interrupt the dream?"
"Around where Luna did,"
Twilight said, though her face took on an extremely disturbed expression.
"Though, a little later, I actually felt his blade begin to...
Twilight clutched tightly onto the scar on her chest, her hooves shaking. Chrysalis gently brought Twilight into a motherly embrace, nuzzling her gently to allay her fears.
"Why now?"
Twilight shakily asked.
"Why what?"
Chrysalis asked in return, still holding on to her daughter.
"These dreams are only now beginning again. 2 years later? I am not ready to deal with post-traumatic stress syndrome." "Don't be silly, Twilight. Why would you develop such a thing so long after the event?"
Despite the current frailty Twilight was displaying, she still managed to enter lecture mode ever so slightly.
"Actually, I've read extensively on the subject, particularly after Shining Armor's episode. My research states that symptoms first appear at least 6 months after the traumatic event. That could mean months or even years later. I think you are just overreacting. Again."
Chrysalis chuckled in an attempt to brighten the mood.
"But, Twilight, what do you feel when you think of that dream?"
Chrysalis looked her daughter in the eyes. Twilight took a moment to answer.
"Fear and frustration. Frustration. And what about when you think about the actual attack? Where are you going with this?"
Twilight asked.
"Please, Twilight, just answer the question."
"All right,"
Twilight conceded.
"When I think back on that day, I feel resentment. He tried to kill me, he tried to kill you, and he did kill Longshot."
"Understandable,"
Chrysalis said.
is that all? I think so? Why?
Twilight raised an inquisitive eyebrow. Chrysalis grinned.
Why is it you feel no fear for the event, but only for the dream? And you also mentioned frustration. This is truly Princess Luna's area of expertise, but as your mother, I must also get to the bottom of this, so could there be another reason for your dreams?
Twilight's eyes scrunched, and her muzzle did as well, as she thought back on the last two dreams. The chase and the bodies of her friends all terrified her beyond belief. Those images would stay locked away if Twilight had anything to say about it, but that wasn't what she focused her attention on. There was something else. Twilight's eyes widened.
That Celestia damned name. The one the assassin said, but I can't recall. With this council, I've been pondering that far more lately. That must be it. You might be right. I think there is something else.
Oh?
Chrysalis said.
Care to share? Not right now. Later, but not right now.
Twilight responded. Chrysalis frowned.
Are you sure? I am here to talk whenever you need me. You know that, right? Of course I do.
Twilight gave her mother a reassuring smile.
I just need to sort some things out on my own. Whether I succeed or fail, I promise I will let you know when I am ready. Well, all right, just go steady, okay?
Chrysalis asked of her daughter with profound motherly concern radiating off of her.
I will, but haven't we got a council meeting to get ready for?
Chrysalis looked over to a clock on the desk, which read that it was 8:40. The alarm set to go off at 9.
True,
Chrysalis stated.
We only have 20 more minutes to sleep anyway, and the council starts at 10. We may as well get up and ready now.
Chrysalis moved away from Twilight's bed with a flick of her jagged black horn, and Green Magic took a hold of her own bed sheets and straightened them out neatly. Twilight herself quickly vacated her own bed and did the same. Twilight moved over to the desk and brought up a small mirror in her magic as she began to sort out her bedhead. Chrysalis looked on as her daughter did up her mane, while she herself simply flattened down a few loose strands, and that was that, much to Twilight's bemusement.
We are going into the most important event Changelings hold, and you aren't even going to do up your mane?
Twilight deadpanned.
Since when were you so fussed? Normally, I'm not, but in this case, it's like dining with Princess Celestia, just without exquisite silverware placement.
Chrysalis rolled her eyes.
Oh no, whatever would Celestia do without exquisite silverware placement? It's the proper thing to do,
Twilight protested.
This is the same mare that set up the Grand Galloping Gala, just so it could be ruined. Twice. Do you really think she cares for any of that, truly?
Chrysalis smirked knowingly.
Well, and do you ever go to such lengths with me? What? No, why would I? Because I am queen,
Chrysalis suggested.
But you're my mother, why would I?
Chrysalis raised an eyebrow. Twilight pouted.
All right, point taken. Never mind me. Mare with three mothers over here.
Chrysalis laughed heartily.
I do believe we have discovered the very title history will remember you by.
Twilight could only groan.
The mare with three mothers or the three-mothered mare?
Chrysalis mused behind a muzzle-wide grin. Twilight could only groan louder. Chrysalis and Twilight were admitted entrance to the council chamber by the other changelings guarding the one and only doorway leading inside. One of the guards was in blue and red armor, and the other wore all green armor. Cardus was talking to another guard nearby in cyan armor, going over a few final security checks as the long-awaited council finally was about to begin. Seven of the queens were already sat in their respective seats. Queen Crudelis, being the event's organizer, sat in the seat at the head of the mall, examining all the new arrivals intently. Unlike the previous day, she barely spared Twilight and Chrysalis a glance as they walked into the chamber. The other queens seated were Xerox, Plastron, Pupa, Tempora, Antennae, and Queen Cocoon. Cocoon stood out to Twilight, however, and this was because there was a much smaller changeling royal stood by her side, to the left. Like her mother, she had a teal-colored mane and green eyes, and also, just like her mother, her hair was cut short with a single braid hanging down.
"Who's that?"
Twilight pointed to the unknown individual. Chrysalis looked over to where Twilight was gesturing to and shook her head.
"I do not know. I was unaware Cocoon had birthed an heir. We will find out soon enough."
"Your Highnesses,"
a voice called to their right. Both royals turned to see the drone in cyan armor that Cardus was conversing with approaching them.
"Yes, what can I do for you?"
Chrysalis asked. The drone levitated a list.
"Your seats."
"Ah, I see,"
Chrysalis said.
"Where are we located?"
4 seats to Crudelis's left, on Queen Cocoon's immediate left, and Queen Draco's right."
"Thank you. Hold on,"
Twilight interrupted.
"I thought Crudelis's drones were taking charge of organizing all this."
"If they had their way,"
the drone responded.
"I am sure you are aware of Crudelis's mixed reputation. Queens like Vulgaris and Antennae may trust her, but others, such as my Queen Xerox, do not. I'm sure you can sympathize, Your Highness."
"Ah, yeah, I understand."
The drone gave a respectful nod before going off to direct the newly arrived Queen Orbada.
"Come, Twilight. We'd best take our seats."
Chrysalis began to move forwards. Nodding, Twilight followed. On reaching their assigned spot, Chrysalis sat down in the chair while Twilight, being only a princess and not a queen, had to make do with standing to her mother's right. She saw Queen Orbada take a seat directly across from them, while Queens Carapace and Acadica entered together next, shortly followed by Queen Ingrica. When Twilight eventually looked to her right, she saw she was standing right next to the other princess she had spotted earlier. Like Twilight had been, the princess was studying all the arriving queens. The princess seemed to be of Twilight's age and was but an inch taller, if even that. This being the only other changeling princess Twilight had met by that point, there was only one thing to do. Make friends.
"Hi, my name is..." Twilight began in a cheerful tone. "Princess Twilight Sparkle,"
the princess finished without looking her way.
"Yes, I know who you are. That drama in Canterlot made you light up like a pony heartwarming tree. I don't think there is a single changeling royal that doesn't know of you, at least by this point." "Oh, right,"
Twilight half-chuckled.
And you are?"
The princess turned to face Twilight for the first time.
"Princess Insecta." "Well, it's nice to meet you, Insecta."
Twilight regained her cheery mannerisms. Insecta seemed visibly uncomfortable.
Thanks. "So, have you been to one of these before?" "No,"
Insecta responded.
"It is my first time here." "It is? Are you nervous?" "No,"
she replied bluntly.
"Oh, all right. So are there any other princesses you know of? I have heard that there is another that is far older than either of us. I do not know more than that, however." "Vulgaris's daughter, Imperius,"
Draco said as she sat in her seat to Chrysalis's left.
"Draco, how are you?"
Chrysalis asked.
"Well, eager to get this over with."
"Agreed,"
Chrysalis said. On cue, the two final queens, Pennsylvanica and Vulgaris, entered the council chamber. When they both sat down at the opposite end of the room, Twilight could see a changeling royal the size of a fully grown queen standing by Vulgaris's side.
"That would be Imperius, then,"
Insecta stated. All conversation suddenly died as a flash of red caught the attention of all those present. When Queen Crudelis was satisfied she had all of their attention, she let her horn simmer out and spoke.
If all are present, could all guards leave the room and take your positions outside? This is not for your ears.
All of the guards, Cardus included, bowed to the gathered queens and left the chamber. The door was then sealed shut behind them.
Now that that is taken care of,
Crudelis continued,
I am pleased to announce that this council is now in session. Before we start, however, we have two new royals to welcome. Princess Twilight and Insecta are new to the council and are the heirs to their respective hives.
All eyes turned to examine the two young princesses, and both couldn't help but shrink back slightly under the scrutiny, causing Princess Imperius to scoff.
We shall now move on to the first topic of this council,
Crudelis stated.
Good,
Queen Xerox spoke,
because now we can finally get some answers.
Answers, dear Xerox?
Crudelis leaned casually in her chair.
Answers to what? The meaning of life?
Don't play coy, Crudelis. What happened to Queen Vespula? Why is she dead?
Murmur spread throughout the group. All of the queens had obviously too wanted answers to that question.
I think I can shed some light on that,
Draco spoke.
Oh, well, please then, Draco, do tell,
Crudelis urged.
I will. On conversing with Queen Xerox and Cocoon last night, I discovered the latter was the first of the queens to have drones on the scene. It is true,
Cocoon confirmed. Draco carried on.
When her drones arrived, like my own, they discovered signs of heavy fighting had taken place, and Vespula's drones had fought to the last. Vespula herself was found in the throne room, beheaded. Where are you going with this, Draco?
Crudelis asked simply.
It must have taken a being of incredible power to take down Queen Vespula in what appeared to be single combat. Also, when Cocoon's drones arrived, there were no bodies of the attackers to be found. So they had been cleaned up before Hoof?
Vulgaris noted.
Indeed,
Draco replied.
Except they left something behind.
Draco noted to Queen Cocoon. Cocoon nodded back before turning to Insecta.
My daughter, if you would please.
Insecta's horn lit up green, and she brought around a bag from behind her mother's seat, which she flung into the center of the council chamber. There was a loud, metallic clang as the bag's contents came rolling out. It was a charred helmet. A helmet colored red and blue. Voices erupted from the gathered queens as they all began to erratically shout over one another.
Silence!
A red flash emanated from Crudelis's horn once more, bringing the council back to order.
Queen Crudelis!
Xerox snarled.
Do you care to explain this?
Crudelis smirked.
It appears I have been caught red-hoofed. Yes, I killed Queen Vespula.
Shock rolled through the assembled royalty.
But why? Why kill her? She was no threat to you!
Queen Pennsylvanica demanded to know. Queen Crudella sat at her full height.
I placed my trust in Vespula, a great amount of trust. And sadly, I was sorely disappointed with the results. She betrayed my trust, and thus she paid the price for it.
But death?
Queen Orbata exclaimed.
Did she truly deserve that?
Queen Ingrica nodded in agreement.
Look around you, Crudelis. There were once 30 queens. Now there are 19. How much more will our numbers fall?
We have been worse off,
Vulgaris pointed out.
Not by much,
Xerox rebuked.
When she betrayed my trust, she became a threat, and I dealt with it. Would you not have done the same?
Crudelis asked innocently. As Twilight listened to the murmurs going around the room following the statement, she could tell the reactions were mixed. Some, like Vulgaris and her daughter, approved. Others, like Xerox and Cocoon, did not.
I, for one, agree with Queen Trudellis. She eliminated a threat, nothing more,
Antenne said.
Of course you would side with her, Antenne,
Queen Draco growled.
We have our answers, but that is past now, whether we agree or not,
Queen Carapace said.
What I wish to hear about is this little alliance between the Badlands Hive and Equestria. Oh, I agree.
Trudellis grinned as all eyes turned to Chrysalis and Twilight. Chrysalis and Twilight glanced at each other briefly.
What do you want to know?
Chrysalis asked after a pause.
How and why? Our race valued secrecy above all, and how the whole world knows of us. It makes our lives just that little bit more difficult,
Queen Tempora spat.
Why? I had to retrieve my daughter. And how? When assassins tried to kill Twilight, the Sun Princess assisted me in ending them. Permanently.
Chrysalis's eyes narrowed.
The lead assassin was, by the way, a changeling.
The queen shared glances between one another, all seemingly surprised. All except for Chrysalis, Draco, Trudellis, and Plastron.
You mean one of us tried to kill her through an agent?
Queen Pupa asked in surprise.
All right, that I didn't know,
Insecta muttered.
He's the one who did this,
Twilight said to the other princess, gesturing to the scar on her chest.
Yes,
Chrysalis spoke again.
And I have my suspicions as to who is behind this. Do you have proof as to whom?
Trudellis asked. Chrysalis glared at her aunt.
No, which is why I won't mention names for now. There's no need,
Queen Plastron smirked.
I know who he was.
Chrysalis and Twilight stared.
You do? I once had an agent deep in Canterlot. He was almost caught about a year ago and had to pull out due to that damned green paste you provided them, Chrysalis.
Plastron glared at the other queen.
But during his time there, he saw the body and recognized him. So who was it?
Chrysalis asked impatiently.
His name was Serpens, and he was an agent of Queen Vespula. What?
Chrysalis's eyes widened, as did almost every other queen's. Trudellis could only watch on in delight.
Are you certain of this?
Chrysalis nearly shouted.
Fully,
Plastron responded.
He was her main agent, one renowned for his lack of a conscience. A cold-hearted, calculated killer to his core, caring for none. Well, except for his parents and sisters, according to Vespula herself, when we once spoke. Well, then,
Trudellis began,
it appears that she didn't only betray my trust, but yours as well, my dearest niece. Oh, aren't you glad I wiped that snake and her hive out?
You killed the children, not just the queen,
Draco shouted.
I had to be thorough.
Trudellis brushed off Draco's accusation.
Do you believe this?
Draco whispered over to Chrysalis.
It didn't sound like a lie,
Twilight reluctantly admitted.
No, it didn't. Plastron would have no motive to do so.
Chrysalis sighed.
But there is still a missing piece to this endless damned puzzle. You still think Trudellis is involved?
Draco asked.
I don't know,
Chrysalis hissed.
Well, now that that mystery is sorted, can we get back to the topic at hoof?
Queen Tempora deadpanned.
Yes, please. Continue,
Trudellis seconded.
We know why, but you still revealed us, Chrysalis. Infiltration and gathering love is that much harder now,
Queen Pupa said.
You could try following our example,
Twilight blurted out.
What was that?
Tempora stared daggers at Twilight. Twilight stood firm.
If you could create an alliance with Equestria, make peace, collecting love would become so much easier.
Why would they accept us? You are close to the Sun Princess's heart. We don't have that privilege,
Orbata stated.
Not all of us frolic in the fields with little ponies,
Princess Imperia sneered.
Some of us live in the real world.
My brother and sister-in-law preside over the Crystal Empire. If you are willing to negotiate, I can help you gain access to some of the love held in that heart.
Bullshit,
Imperius dismissed.
She is correct,
Draco said.
My grandmother traded with Queen Amore.
She what?
Crudella shouted in surprise.
They traded various arms for a regular supply of love, and Amore was kind enough to keep us hidden. It was a pretty good deal until King Sombra murdered Amore.
Then perhaps this is something we can pursue,
Xerox asked. Cocoon and Insecto whispered to each other briefly before the former spoke.
We agree.
Vulgaris shook her head.
And cast off over a millennia of tradition? Our race is meant to remain in the shadows. It is as simple as that. This is likely a topic for another time. For now, we should move on to more immediate matters,
Queen Crudella said. The Crystal Empire. Two old cellar doors creaked open as a small muzzle sheepishly poked its way out. The sun was blinding to the nymph after being cooped up in the dark wine cellar for so long, but she could no longer stay. Pualula was terrified. She was starving to death, and in her mind, only her sister could make it better. She had to find her. It would be difficult without a hive mind, but she was one determined changeling. Securing her small saddlebags over her back, she made sure her book, scavenged comics, and what little physical food she had left were all present. She then picked a direction and began to walk.
Thank you for tuning in for this chapter of Change by Tom117Z. If you enjoyed any of what you heard, please consider leaving a like. If you're not already, consider subscribing. And if you're really feeling incredibly generous and really want to support me in what I do, then there's a link to my Patreon down in the description below. Thank you very much for any and all support, be it like, sub, favorite, whatever. It's all helpful. I appreciate it all. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.